Now, I'm going to talk a little about the Holy Spirit in a moment. We'd like to hear a great Holy Spirit story, something that Holy Spirit did a couple of weeks ago. We'd like to hear that?
Yeah.
Some of you may have heard of it. I went to get my hair cut, as I do from time to time. I know enough people have been nagging me about getting my hair cut, and you wouldn't believe the comments I had when I came in after having a haircut. Anyway, so I went to get my hair cut, and as my hair was being cut, the lady who was cutting my hair was struggling because at Christmas she fell over a walking stick, and she damaged her ligament and her cartilage, and she had been in pain every day since then, and she needed an operation. So she was really struggling, and at one point she had to leave the room because she couldn't continue. And I'm there, bib, half a haircut, waiting for about 3 minutes. So where's this woman gone? And eventually she came back, and she was hobbling around, and I said, look, you must let me pray for you, because you know we've seen a lot of people healed when we pray for them. She said, I can remember you telling me that before. And my intention was to pray for her after the haircut had finished. But I could see she wasn't going to manage this, because every time she moved round the chair, she was wincing. And I said to myself, I'm going to have to pray for this lady now. So when she came round to this side and cutting the front of my hair, I said to her, let me pray for you now. Now, I couldn't lay hands on her because I had the bib on. They were underneath the coat. So it was going to And the other challenge is this, that it was a very small room. There were 5 men waiting for their haircut. There were 4 chairs. All of them were taken up, including mine. So there was 25 people in this room. And I'm saying to this lady, let me pray for you. And I can feel like 24 sets of ears and loads of eyes boring into the back of my skull. So I said to this lady, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, heal me now. Because I knew it had to be quick. But we don't need long prayers for the Holy Spirit to work. It's not about religious ritual. It's about faith and his willingness. And she prayed a prayer, Lord Jesus, heal me now. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your knee to be healed and all the pain to go. And then I asked her to move it as I was thrust up like a straitjacket. And she moved her leg and I said, where's the pain? And it was completely gone. She said, oh, it's better. Oh, I feel overwhelmed. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, I feel emotional. And every 30 seconds she was stopping. Oh, I feel emotional. Oh, that's stunning that was. And she just couldn't get over it. So then I sent Matthew in a fortnight later. I said, Matthew, go and get your hair cut and see what if I So he went in and she turned up. And all the ladies were talking about it because God, the Holy Spirit, had done something marvelous. Now, it is awesome, isn't it? So I want to read a story to you about the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. Now, this is, could you just put the first slide on for me? Thank you very much, and I might need to press this. Why aren't you working? Yep. It's okay, I'll read it from the scribe. Now, here's the background. There was a scattering of, because of persecution in Jerusalem, a whole load of disciples were scattered. Philip, who was an evangelist, went down to Samaria, and he began to do what evangelists do. They just preach the gospel and tell everybody about Jesus. That's what evangelists do. And it says, and what happened? The whole of Samaria listened to Philip, and they believed what he said, and they turned from their wrongdoings. They were baptized. They became fully-fledged Christians. And when the apostles in the church in Jerusalem heard about it, they went to check it out because there was an amazing thing happened. And it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's word or God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture, and I'd like you to consider this very carefully. They had believed the message of Jesus, dying on the cross, raised from the dead, for the forgiveness of our wrongdoings and our sins. It says in this passage that they had repented and be baptized. Therefore, they were fully fledged, committed Christians. They had been forgiven. They now had the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the gift of eternal life. They'd been born again by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had made their spirit alive. Jesus was living in them through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it also says, there's a phrase here, it says, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles laid hands upon them. So what we're talking about here is this. When we give our lives to Christ, we are born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are changed. Jesus lives in us by the Spirit. But there is another receiving of the Holy Spirit that this teaches of. There is something yet to come that we receive after we have given our lives to Christ. That's what it's very clear. So we read in this passage of Scripture that they had not yet received the fullness or the empowering or the Holy Spirit that comes upon them. Do we see that? It says the Holy Spirit came upon them. There was something else. And that's what I want to talk about today. Let me just turn over my page here. Okay, let me just clarify one thing. There can be a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. He is God with the Father and the Son, who is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in nature and character, in essence, the same as the Father and the Son, because he is God. He's a separate person, but he is God with the Father, with the Son. Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. He said this, I'm going back to the Father, and it's good that I go. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would not come to you. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, it's good that I'm going, because if I don't go, you will not have the Holy Spirit with you. He said this, I will ask the Father and he will send you the Holy Spirit and he will be with you as I am with you. He will be with you as I am with you. So the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not something or someone that is strange or to be feared. The Holy Spirit is good and to be received. The Holy Spirit comes upon us like he came upon Jesus at his baptism. Do you remember that? Jesus came out of the water. This is the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Oh, look. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. But when the apostles laid hands upon the believers, the Holy Spirit came upon them just like he came upon Jesus, his baptism. Do you know Jesus didn't, to our knowledge, according to the records, perform one act of preaching or public power ministry until he received the Holy Spirit coming upon him? Isn't that interesting? It was only after he received the Holy Spirit that we see the ministry of Jesus inaugurated and launched in power. So, the Holy Spirit is with us and wants to be with us just like Jesus was with us. It's good that I go, and I will send another just like me to be with you. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus hung round us in the flesh like he did with the disciples 24/7. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Teaching, guiding, leading, helping, showing, being our example, giving us tips here and there, rebuking, correcting, encouraging. But actually Jesus says, I'm going to go away and give you the Holy Spirit so he will be with you just as I am with you. We do have the Jesus replacement, so to speak. The Holy Spirit now comes in his place to do what Jesus did with his disciples. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." This is to his disciples after he'd been risen from the dead. They were believers in the resurrected Christ. And then he said, "You will receive power in a few days, and when that power comes upon you, you will be my witnesses." Paul received the Holy Spirit in this particular way that we're talking about after his conversion. I'll go back. There's a story of Ananias in the Bible. And after Paul had been converted on the Damascus Road, he was praying and fasting for 3 days. The Holy Spirit said to Ananias, "Ananias, go to Straight Street in Damascus. Paul, who'd been persecuting the believers, has been converted. I have a great task for him." Ananias, in obedience, trembling in his boots or shaking in his sandals, went to Straight Street, knocked on the door, and said, "Paul of Tarsus, the Lord has sent me to you that you may receive the Holy Spirit." He laid hands upon him, and the mighty apostle Paul, who had now believed and encountered the risen Christ 3 days earlier, gets an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He receives the Holy Spirit, and from there he goes and changes the known world. And after that experience, we read that the apostles and the early disciples were very keen that believers would be aware of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this passage of Scripture. While Apollos was in Corinth and Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And then after that, he'd learned that they believed in Jesus, but through John the Baptist. So they're believers in Jesus, but through John. And then he baptized them into the name of Jesus. And it says, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There are about 12 of them in all. So we see from this passage of Scripture, there was a little bit of confusion and ignorance about the Holy Spirit, and the same is today. Many people say, "Well, who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? I haven't really received him or know much about him. I know about God the Father," who actually is Spirit, by the way. The Father is Spirit in the book of John. It's not an old man with a stick or a long beard. He's not actually a physical person. He is Spirit. Jesus, who is now a man in heaven, was Spirit before he was born through the Virgin Mary, but now he is a man in heaven. And then there is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit performs the ministry of the Father and the ministry of Jesus. And that's why sometimes the Holy Spirit is known as the ministry of Christ, or the Spirit of Christ. And there's nothing to be frightened of about the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus did, the Holy Spirit does. And anything Jesus would not do, the Holy Spirit wouldn't do. There's nothing to be frightened about. Because the Holy Spirit is the same as the Father and the same as the Son in what he does, and in his love and in his nature and his character and in his power. So there's confusion. "I don't know about the Holy Spirit," said these disciples. So let me just explain a little bit about the Holy Spirit so we're all clear and we're working off the same page here. When we believe and turn to Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches we're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. We become children of God. We are forgiven for our sins and we have eternal life. That we have the Holy Spirit living inside us that gives us the gift of life and a guarantee of heaven. but it's a deposit. It's not the fullness that we've been speaking about here. It's a bit like this is your life, and anybody who turns from their sins to Jesus, their body, their life, their spirit has the Holy Spirit. But can you see something about this glass? It's not full, is it? It has water in it. Holy Spirit sometimes referred to as water, as living water. It has water in it, but it's not full. It has the life, but it's not full. So when I turn to Jesus, Holy Spirit lives inside me. I am made brand new. I am born again. I have eternal life. There's a change. I notice the change. I thank God for the change. It's real, but there's more. There's what we call the receiving of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, John the Baptist said of Jesus, I baptize you in water, Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. To be baptized is to be saturated, soaked, and immersed in something. When Jesus spoke to the disciples, he spoke about this promise. About in many days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the difference between this and baptism? Let me show you. This is receiving the Holy Spirit when you're born again. This is receiving the Holy Spirit when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a difference, isn't it? It is to be filled and overflowing. And that's why you get power. That makes the difference. That's why you can pray for somebody. You can't even lay their hands upon them in the hairdressers. And in a moment, they get healed. That's why you can be in a meeting and you're saying, Lord, do you want to speak to somebody today? And the Holy Spirit will put a picture in your heart or in your mind or give you a word or move you, and you have something for somebody in the meeting. That's why Peter, when he walked into Jerusalem, it says that even if his shadow would touch people, they would be healed because he was overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why when you read Scripture, it becomes alive to you rather than a dry old book, because the life of the Spirit is drawing the life of the Scriptures out to you. That's why when you worship in prayer, you pray, and it seems as if an hour can last 5 minutes. No, 5 minutes can... You know what I mean. Because you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit basically makes the difference between having the gift of eternal life and going to heaven and being a Christian and living in power. That's why Jesus says, not many days from now you'll receive power and you will be my witnesses. And this is what the disciples and Paul were very keen for the new believers to receive. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you in power, you receive power for service. It is accompanied by the ability to speak in tongues, a prayer language that you've never spoken before. You say, how can I speak a language I've never learned? You can't. Unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit gives you the ability. And then when you say, Holy Spirit, now I've asked you to fill me, I believe by faith you've given me the ability to pray in a prayer language that will strengthen me and bless me, that I will pray in your will even though I don't understand what you're praying. It will be like a release of power for me every time I do it. And even though I've never spoken this language, I'm going to attempt a few words. And when you attempt those few words and use those few sentences, childlike in faith, you find that the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do it. Some people say, oh, it seems strange because I'm the one speaking. Surely God should waggle my tongue and take over, and I should be in some ecstatic experience where I'm out of control. No. You do the speaking by faith, and you speak in tongues. Before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't have the ability to do it. Now when you do it and you choose to do it, you can, because he has given you the gift. Do you understand? Yeah? So some people get put up and say, oh, it's me doing it. Of course it's you doing it. Who else is going to do it? But the only reason you can do it now is because you've said, Holy Spirit, will you fill me and give me the gift? And prophecy, the ability to hear the voice of God, encourage people with his heart and his purpose for people's lives, and to have insight into what the Spirit of God is now saying and doing in our lives and the lives of others, and, of course, gifts of power and healing. These are the things that accompany the filling and the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These are things that you can receive. And it will make a difference. And it's important. And it's not an extracurricular activity. It's not like, okay, I'm going to heaven, my sins are forgiven, I believe in Jesus. That's enough for me. No. Jesus never said to his disciples, go into all the world and make believers. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. A disciple is somebody who lives like Jesus in their life and in their character. You need power for that. Can't live like Jesus without power. Jesus was baptized in water, and the power of the Spirit came upon him, and he lived in that power. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed that power and lived in that power, don't you think we do? No, this is not an extra correction. I want to speak to you kindly, but I want to speak to you directly this morning. For anybody here who thinks that just believing in Jesus and being baptized is what God has called you to do, and you've set a ceiling and a limit on that, I want to say no, that is not the mind and intention of God for you. He wants you to live in power, and he's given you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're serious about your faith and being obedient to him and being a disciple, you will know that you need power. And I want to encourage you to seek that power, the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to stop fear putting you off. Because this is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father. It's like Jesus drawing alongside you. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit, another one just like him. Stop the fear. That's the enemy. It's a work of the flesh. It's not God. Sometimes we've got to be really strong with our thinking. Got to be really firm with our thinking. We don't live in fear. We live in faith. So how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Well, it's very simple, really. Got to be hungry or thirsty. Do you know, we're not really going to want him unless we're thirsty and hungry for him. It's like coming to the meal table when you're not hungry. Now, you're either not hungry for two reasons. Either because you've eaten too much and you're already full. But that doesn't work with the Holy Spirit, because the thing about the presence of God, the more you have of him, the more you desire him. Somebody once says you become satisfied with a dissatisfied satisfaction. I'll say that again because it's so true. You become satisfied with a dissatisfied satisfaction. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you think, Lord, this is the most wonderful, fulfilling encounter and experience a human being can know. I want more. That's the nature of it. But the other reason why you're not hungry is if you're sick. So there's something not right. As if, and sometimes we can be spiritually sick, not realize it. But you know what? good food makes you strong. When I go to the doctors and I'm sick, he says, drink plenty of water, eat well. Do you know, being filled with the water and the life and the bread of Christ through the Holy Spirit makes you well. There's no excuses. But you must be thirsty. Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. Can you imagine Jesus shouting? Shouted at you. Now, sometimes I get a little excited and I might speak a little direct. But Jesus shouted. Shall I do that this morning? How important it is. God shouting this message out. Yes, God shouting. Anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said this, he was speaking of the Spirit who he would give to anyone believing in him. Come, be thirsty, drink. That's the first thing. The second thing is to surrender. We have to surrender to the Holy Spirit if we want to be filled with him. He has come to rule and reign and have his way. He's not just come into our lives just for a cup of tea and a scone. He's not just a visitor because he wants his company. He's come as the sovereign Lord. He is the Spirit of the sovereign Lord. He wants to be sovereign. That means surrender. I yield every aspect of my life, every aspect. There is no aspect of our lives that must not be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. Every thought, every desire, every appetite, every ambition, every goal, everything, everything comes, Lord, your will, not mine. This is a key to being full of the Holy Spirit. It's the key to revival. Anything that is doubtful, we must surrender to him. We must surrender and say, your will be done. Sin must go. He's a Holy Spirit. Sin must go. Fear must not rule. Can't have fear and Holy Spirit ruling in our lives. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace, not the Spirit of fear. I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, peace, and a sound mind, says the scriptures. Got to let go of fear. And now, Spirit of God. Pride, oh, pride. And the sense of what will happen. Will I be embarrassed? Pride is a big stumbling block to being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. What will happen? Will something strange happen? Will I speak in tongues and embarrass myself? Will somebody hear me speaking in tongues? What happens if I actually have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and as sometimes might happen, some people have fallen over because it's so powerful, or some people have shaken, or some people have just wept because of the joy and they found themselves weeping, and some people have just been very calm and peaceful. What happens if I'm not one of those calm and peaceful people? What happens if that happens to me? What is the question that you're really asking? You're frightened of what people think. Oh, listen, we have to settle this in our hearts. Jesus is more important than what people think of me. He is the Spirit of the sovereign Lord. I have to settle this. We've got to deal with this issue of pride. Every time I pray for a sick person in the public place, I have to deal with this. What will people think? All those men boring their eyes in the back of my skull. What will happen if she doesn't get healed? I remember on a train coming back from Italy where we prayed. I went to your church tonight, Rachel, and prayed for people. A whole stack of people got healed. And I was back on the train on the way to Milan, sitting opposite a guy. And there was a student asleep and an elderly old man, and he had Parkinson's disease, I guess, because he was shaking, and it was his time to take the tablets. And he was shaking so much, the poor man couldn't get the tablets out. I said, he's going to spill all over the train if somebody doesn't help him. And I just prayed for a whole bunch of people, and the whole stack of them got healed. And I asked myself this question, and I thought, oh, I should pray for him. And then there was a hesitation. I thought, this is a full train. I can't speak Italian. And what will happen and what will people think? And it's embarrassing. And I began to hesitate. And this is the thought that came to me. Why am I not willing to do this? And I realized it was because I was frightened of what people thought, might think. And I said, that's not a good enough reason, Julian. It's not a good enough reason to fear what people think. And the other problem is I couldn't speak Italian. But there was a young guy who I guess was a student, and he was asleep. That was a third problem. Because I know students can speak English, foreign ones. They're not like us. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I thought, I'm going to wake him up. So I kicked him. I did, I kicked him. Because that would have stopped me. Oh, I can't do it now because he's asleep. That's not a good enough reason, is it? What will this man think if I wake him up? Might be a bit annoyed. That's not a good enough reason, is it? Is that a good enough reason to stop God touching a man's life? It's not, is it? I kicked him. You're welcome. I said, you speak English? And he says, a little. I said, will you interpret for me? He said, all right. And so I talked to him about Jesus and prayer and prayed for him. I don't know if he got healed, but the lesson of the story is this. This is the lesson. Sin, fear, pride, they're the big stoppers to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And my question to you today, will you let sin and fear and pride stop you from all that God wants to give you? Will you? Will you? I hope you say no. No. Today, we're going to change all that. Today, I'm going to become a Holy Spirit-filled person and live in His power. Today, and every day, and every day after that, I'm going to check my sin, my pride, my fear, because my friend, I'm going to speak like Bruce now, my dear friend. He's great when he does that. But I just want to share this with you. Time is going on. But I just want to share with you, I have to choose that every day. Sin, fear, and pride, every day. I have to say, not today. Yeah? And any moment I yield to any of those things, I leak. I leak the living waters of the living God. And I need to be filled again with His power. And finally, we must act. No, we must ask. How much more will the Holy Spirit give those who've asked? Just say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, baptize me in your spirit. I want the more. Give me the tongues and prophecy and the power to heal and the power to be a witness and the power to live an overcoming life. Be with me, Holy Spirit, like Christ was with the disciples. Baptize me. Then we have to act. There are things that we must do. We share our faith with a new power. If we've asked for the gift of tongues, we say something by faith with a few syllables and a few words that we've never spoken, trusting that as we do the little, He will step in. You know, we can be like this person here. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Or we could buy this person here. I'm going to give it a go. That's speaking in tongues, by the way. I was just praising God because He's fantastic. Okay? Give it a go. And then you might be in worship or prayer or praying for something, and a picture comes into your mind or a strong impression or a strong word, and it's just come out of the blue. And you think, do you know it came out of the blue? That could be of God. And you go, no, it's probably of me. And you just stay there. Or you go, I've got something to share. It might be a blessing for you. You step out of the boat. You walk on water. No stepping out of the boat. No walkie-walkie. That's right, isn't it? Every miracle is an act of faith and courage. Every miracle is an act of risk and obedience. Even Jesus. He probably thought from time to time, forgive me, Lord, if you didn't. I hope this works. Take your mat and walk. I know I do. I hope this works. Pain go in Jesus' name. Oh, what a relief. Thank you, Lord.
Well, that you're on form this morning, Julian. That you know, we really feel that God is taking us on a fresh journey with the Holy Spirit, and it's a journey we want to go together. And so I hope this morning that really explains kind of an ABC, really, of who the Holy Spirit is for us and the journey that we will take with him. And I want to encourage the young people here as well. I know many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit in youth and in, you know, some of your groups out there, but this is for the young people and the children as well, like when Matthew shared his testimony at the beginning of just a young lad and God revealing something. And God has a powerful life to us, for us to live. Thank goodness. That's amazing, isn't it?